According to the Bible, angels exist. In fact, there are over 260 references to them throughout Scripture. From the story of creation in Genesis to the description of the end times in Revelation, angels actively participate in the affairs of this world and heaven. However, they are widely misunderstood. And so today on A Daily Walk, Pastor John Randall will point to the truth about angels as our study in Hebrews continues. Let's find out who they really are and the one who is even better than angels. We're in Hebrews chapter 1.
Let's open our Bibles now to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I want to draw your attention to verse 4 as we pick up where we left off. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." Oh, but to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." The letter to the Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish believers who had come to faith in Christ. I remember reading many years ago one commentator saying that the letter to the Hebrews was telling the Hebrews to stop being Hebrews. In deciding to follow Jesus, these Jewish believers became part of the church, which was actually made up of both Jews and Gentiles. They were now becoming one body in Christ. And because Jesus had died on the cross and risen from the dead, they were able to now lay aside their former religious practices, such as the sacrificial system. There's no need to offer any sacrifices anymore in the temple because Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. That old covenant is now done away with. There's a new covenant that's come as a result of the work of Christ on the cross. But this change of life, this following after Jesus, resulted in persecution in their newfound faith. They were seen as violators of the Jewish law. Consequently, many of them were no longer welcomed among their family members or even in their communities. And with all of the discouragement, some of them began to go back to the sacrificial system, go back to the rituals, go back to the old covenant once again. And the writer, being greatly concerned for these believers who were now settling for less than the best, he builds a case pointing out that Jesus is better. Jesus is better than anything that you would go back to. And going back to what they had been delivered out of was less than God's best for them. Therefore, the letter opens up, as we saw last week, with this overarching theme initially of the supremacy of Christ, the greatness of Jesus. And pointing out, first of all, that Jesus is better or greater than the prophets of the Old Testament. Now, the prophets had powerful ministries. They spoke messages to the people on behalf of God, and they spoke to God on behalf of the people. The words they wrote, they were supernaturally inspired. However, they did not compare to Jesus, not even in the same category. Why is that? Well, we found out that Jesus is the heir of all things. He's the creator of all things. He's the brightness of the Father's glory. He's the express image of God. He holds up everything by the word of his power. He alone purged our sins when he died for us on the cross. And the writer tells us that Jesus completed the work when he sat down at the right hand of the Father. The work of salvation and redemption was done. It's finished. No prophet could compare to Jesus. Now the writer continues to emphasize the greatness, the superiority of Jesus, citing that he is not only greater than all the Old Testament prophets, but he is also greater than the angels, better than the angels. That is why in verse 4, it says, having become so much better than the angels. Now, angels are mentioned over 100 times in the Old Testament and more than 160 times estimated in the New Testament. And the Bible does give us some insight into the character and the nature of angels. Angels are created personal spiritual beings that have intelligence, emotions, and a will. And this is true both of good and bad, evil angels known as demons. They both have these characteristics. They exist in vast numbers, according to Scripture. The Bible says in Hebrews, for example, that there are countless thousands of angels. In Revelation chapter 5, it says there are myriads of angels, perhaps implying millions upon millions. Some believe that there could be as many angels in existence as the total number of human beings in all of history. And they base this particular theory on Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, where it says, beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. And therefore, they say the passage seems to suggest that individual people or children have guardian angels to protect them. It's possible that Jesus was only speaking here in general terms, but suffice it to say, there's a lot of angels. In most cases, they are invisible. But there are times when the Bible does give us a description of them. We know, first of all, that the Bible describes different classifications of angels. Some angels are referred to as the cherubim and the seraphim. And let me just say, they're not these little chubby things that fly around that you see depicted, you know, little babies with little, that's not accurate description. I think when we get to heaven, they're going to be like, see, that was totally wrong. You're right. Sorry. You know, people depicting these little Cupid looking things, you know, that's not what they are. Cherubim, primarily, the Bible says, attend the throne of God as guards. Well, it seems that the seraphim are around the throne and they worship and praise God. This is based, of course, on Ezekiel chapter 1, chapter 10 of Ezekiel, Isaiah chapter 6. But the Bible also speaks of angels of light, and it also speaks of fallen angels. In certain cases in Scripture, when angels are visible, they have had a human-like appearance and are often mistaken for men. The Lord had allowed them to be seen in that way. Perhaps that's why the Bible says, be careful when you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. And you hear stories over the, you know, Christendom of, oh, there was this one time I changed this guy's tire and I looked around. Oh, he was gone. It actually wasn't me. It was my aunt's cousin's nephew that it happened to twice removed. You know, and somebody has this story of they saw an angel and like, okay. It's totally possible. The Bible says that. And so I think it's very probable that it can happen. But you always hear that story floating around and it's great. And I believe that it's probably true. It happened somewhere. Okay, awesome. Then on other occasions, there are radiant and shining powerful lights that come from angels. And still at other points, they have wings and tremendous power as they are described. Now, there are only a few angels that are mentioned in the Bible by name. Michael, the archangel, Gabriel, and Lucifer, who is also the devil. We know that there are different rankings of angels that are revealed in Scripture. Paul described them in the book of Ephesians, and he described them in military standings, that they are engaged in constant spiritual battles in heavenly places. Scriptures also give us some detail into the role that angels play or the job that they have. And here's what the Bible says that angels are involved with. First of all, angels continuously worship God. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Angels there, Isaiah sees this picture of them worshiping around the throne of God. Revelation chapter 4 also gives us a similar description. And it says, "The four living creatures," describing these angels, "each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not," listen to this, "they don't rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come.'" So angels worship God. We also know that angels communicate and have communicated in Scripture God's message to man. An example of this would be in the book of Acts chapter 7, where angels, it says, assisted in presenting the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. It was there in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, that it says, "This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai with our fathers, to the one who received the living oracles given to us." We also find in the Old Testament, the prophet Daniel was spoken to by an angel when he received a prophetic message from God. In Daniel chapter 10, as Daniel was praying and interceding on behalf of his nation, that the Lord sent a messenger to Daniel. And it says this, "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'Oh, Daniel, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, 'Don't fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words.'" Daniel received a prophetic message from the angels that God sent to him. The birth of Christ, we find that the angels delivered divine birth announcements to Mary, to Joseph, to Zacharias, and to the shepherds. But the third thing we see angels doing in Scripture is ministering to believers. In Psalm 34, verse 7, it says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." In Psalm 91, in verse 11 and 12, it says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." One example of this that I could cite is found in 2 Kings in chapter 6 in verse 16. You may remember that story. Elisha the prophet had been sharing intel about what the king of Syria was doing. Without ever being around the king of Syria, the Lord was revealing to him what was happening. And the king of Syria thought that there was a traitor in the midst of the army, but then he found out there was a prophet named Elisha, who had been giving away their coordinates and where they were, etc. And so he says, "We need to go get this guy." And so they came down to the city of Dothan, and there was Elisha and his servant. And it says that all the armies of Syria surrounded the city. And the servant comes out of the tent and he tells Elisha, "Hey, we are surrounded. This is not good. Look around the army." And this is what Elisha said to him, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and he said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." The Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He had this glimpse of the angelic army of God surrounding them and protecting them. Maybe you recall when we were studying through the book of Acts, we saw how Peter had been placed in prison and he was sentenced to death by King Herod. But in the middle of the night, the church had been praying around the clock for his deliverance. And it says that an angel went to Peter, woke him up, led him out of the prison, and he was delivered. We also know from Scripture that angels rejoice when people get saved. Did you know that? In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Just one. All the angels break out in heaven. There's like, they just start going. Something happens. Another sinner, the heaven, somebody's gotten saved and they rejoice. Powerful. But the Bible also seems to indicate that the angels have something to do in coming for those in death. Jesus mentions this in Luke chapter 16 and verse 22 in telling the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And he says, "So it was when the beggar died," whose name was Lazarus, by the way, Jesus tells us that, "he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." In that case, the angels came and they took him there, it says. We also find out from Scripture that angels assist in the judgment of the world during the tribulation period and the gathering at the second coming. In the book of Revelation, the angels we read of open the seal judgments. They're involved in the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments of God. They're also described as assisting in the separating of people like wheat from chaff. Now, with all that background on angelic beings, as powerful and as radiant as angels are, the writer of Hebrews emphasizes that Jesus is superior and immeasurably greater than the angels. Now keep this in mind. The Hebrew believers were feeling the pressure of persecution to deny Jesus Christ. If they would simply compromise and confess that Jesus was a powerful angel, they could skip the consequences. It was a real temptation. A simple change of emphasis on the person of Christ from being God to an angel, and they'd be spared the suffering. This is what they were dealing with. Now, to prove his point that Jesus was better than the angels, the writer of Hebrews highlights seven quotations from the Old Testament, all of which prove the superiority of Jesus above the angels. So here's the first thing. How do we know that Jesus is better than the angels? Because Jesus is the Son of God. Look at verse 4. "Having become so much better than the angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You're my son, today I have begotten you'? And again, 'I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son.'" Jesus has a greater and more excellent name than the angels, because the angels are created beings. Jesus is the Son of God. According to Jewish thought, a person's name revealed their nature and could express their rank or their status. Jesus had the title, the Son, from all eternity. This is who he is. He's not an angelic created being. He's the Son of God. And to prove this point, the writer quotes here from two Old Testament passages together. He links them together. And the first is found in verse 5. He quotes here from Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'?" Psalm 2 was already a famous messianic psalm, understood to be fulfilled in the future day by a descendant of David who would be crowned the king. The only person that fits that bill is Jesus Christ. He's the Son. Son of David, Son of Abraham, Son of God. Jesus alone has the exalted name as the begotten Son. Therefore, he is superior to the angels. The second Old Testament passage that he quotes from is found here in verse 5. And he's quoting from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, where it says, or again, implying to which of the angels did God ever say, "I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son." This passage, 2 Samuel, chapter 7 is a well-known messianic passage that is referred to as, listen carefully, the Davidic covenant. It means an agreement between God and David, meaning a promise that God made to King David concerning his future posterity. Do you remember what happened there in 2 Samuel 7? It was when Nathan the prophet informed David that one of his descendants would eventually come far down the family tree. He would be the Messiah. He would be the king that would rule and reign forever. And David received that promise. And he said, Lord, let it be according to your word. And Jesus fulfilled that prophetic promise. And the writer of Hebrews points to that passage and says, that makes Jesus superior to the angels. That's why the New Testament, when you read Luke's Gospel chapter 1 and the birth announcement comes through the angel Gabriel, do you remember what was said? It says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus is better than the angels because he's the Son of God. He's going to reign forever. No angel is going to reign forever. Only Jesus has that position. That's the point. He's superior to the angels. And in these two prophetic passages of the Old Testament, describing the incarnation, the resurrection, the exaltation of Jesus, he is the Son. Well, all that can be said of the angels is they are messengers or servants.
Pastor John Randall with the truth about angels, and he has one more point to draw from this passage. We'll have that for you in just a moment. Today on The Daily Walk, we've been in Hebrews chapter 1. It's part one of a message called Jesus, Better Than Angels. Would you like to hear the study again or share it with someone who might benefit by hearing this? You can purchase a CD copy for a cost of just $5. Call us right now, toll free, 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. Or listen through our website or app. We're on the web at adailywalk.org. And you'll find our app when you search for CCSJC.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor John Randall from A Daily Walk, and I'm excited to tell you about my latest book entitled Love That Lasts. Love That Lasts contains God's perspective on singleness, dating, and marriage. And throughout this book, you'll be reminded of our Redeemer and lover of our souls, Jesus Christ. So whether you're single, wanting to be married one day, or you're already married, I think you'll be encouraged by God's heart for true love that lasts. Well, here's Larry to tell you how to get a copy.
That's Love That Lasts by Pastor John Randall. And it's available right now at adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. If you could include a little extra, that would be greatly appreciated and responsibly used to help pay for radio time on this station and others like it. We want this ministry to bring the Lord glory and help as many people as possible in their daily walk. And your gift, whatever the size, will help us accomplish that goal. Make a donation online at adailywalk.org. You can also write to A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. If you find these studies helpful to your daily walk, we'd like to know. Pastor John reads your emails and is so encouraged by what you have to say. Write to us by email at adailywalk@gmail.com. Again, that's adailywalk@gmail.com. Here, as promised, Pastor John once again in Hebrews chapter 1.
Jesus is superior to the angels, greater than the angels. Secondly, Jesus is worshiped by the angels. In verse 6, but when he again brings forth the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Verse 6 is an Old Testament quotation from Psalm 89, verse 27. Make note of the word firstborn. It doesn't mean that Jesus is created. He's not a created being. He is God. The word firstborn is defined as preeminent. He is preeminent. over everything. This describes his position because Jesus is the preeminent one, the Almighty God. The angels worship him. By the way, angels are not to be worshiped. If you ever find an angel in the scripture appearing to someone and they fall down and worship him, immediately they say, hey, get up. I'm a servant like you, don't worship me. And granted, they were powerful to look at, but they did not receive worship. They're not to be worshiped. And sometimes you find people getting into different things and angels this and angels that and all this. Listen, we serve Jesus. We worship Jesus. We don't worship the angels. The angels worship Jesus. And so it's really important to understand that as you find people throughout the years getting caught up in these things, touched by an angel, this and an angel and that and so forth. We worship Jesus. That's the important things. He has preeminence.
Our series in Hebrews continues Friday on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. See you then. This is a presentation of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano.